Please turn with me to the Word of God, to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. I do feel a weightiness on these messages just at the minute. I just feel the Lord so revealing something of His own heart and His own life and His own substance even unto us. And we want to be sensitive, want to be careful, we're not just coming for intellectual knowledge or even to learn something. There is a time for teaching. There is a time to be taught. But there is also a time to have something deeper revealed. Not just intellectual knowledge, just not knowledge of the scriptures, but a revealing of the very intents of the heart of our God. There is a time when He draws near to us to reveal His ways. Not just His acts or His deeds. It says in the Psalms that Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew His ways. What is the difference between the acts of God and the ways of God? You can know the acts of God, but not know His character. But in the ways of God, there is a revealing of His very character. Moses went deeper than the people. The people were happy to have bread in the morning, miracles of fire to heat them at night, a pillar of cloud to lead them by the day, to have a manifestation of miracles. They were satisfied. To have their needs met, they were satisfied. But that could never satisfy Moses. Moses looked beyond the fiery pillar and said, I want to know Your ways. He looked further than the miracle bread, the manna in the mornings. He looked beyond all that and said, I want to know Your ways. My heart longs for something deeper than You answering a prayer or doing a miracle or answering when I call. I want to know something of Your character. And saints, I believe there is such for us. We need to go deeper. There is more to be revealed of Him. And may in these days God reveal such unto us. Let's read from Isaiah chapter 50. I just want to read two very precious verses that the Lord has laid on my heart for us this morning. Reading from verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. I want to preach to you for a few moments this morning on how to walk in darkness. How to walk in darkness, when all becomes darkness, how do you continue walking with God? Let's pray and ask for His blessing here upon us this morning. My God, Father, we are asking this morning as we come around Your word, as we walk out, Lord God, that this life that You've put within us, as we walk it out through trials and temptations, through troubles on the left and the right, Lord God, through giants that we face, through mountains that seem impossible. My God, I am asking of You this morning for myself and every individual in this church. I am asking for the treasures of darkness. My God, there's treasures that we are only going to find in the darkness of night. When all becomes darkness, there are treasures that we can walk in and experience and find of Your character, of Your word, and of Your ways. My God, I'm asking this morning, will You reveal Your heart unto us? My God, I'm asking that You come very near unto every member of this church, and even those who aren't here here this morning. My God, I'm asking that you, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Lord God, that you're going to reveal your character and your ways. My God, do you take us through the fire? Do you take us through deep valleys? My God, do you take us through the waters? I'm asking that you bring us forth as your people shining in raiment of white. In the name of Jesus, we just glorify, ask for your blessing, your anointing, your unction on your word. I'm asking that you'd reveal your very character, your nature, your thoughts, your very heart. I'm asking that you reveal something that's going to enable us to walk through dark nights, confusion of mind, Lord God, terror of heart. I'm asking that you'd so reveal your own character that no matter what we feel, what we think, nor what's going on in our circumstance, no, we're going to hold fast and keep on walking in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me read just verse 10 one more time. Our message is how to walk in darkness. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. We should know by now, we know enough of the scriptures to know that in the New Testament, the apostles and Christ spoke about those who walk in darkness. That wasn't speaking about a Christian. That wasn't speaking about a man who fears God. That wasn't speaking about someone who loves the Word of God. In the New Testament, when Christ and the apostles spoke about a man or a woman walking in darkness, it was speaking about someone who didn't have eternal life, who didn't have a real experience of God, even if they thought they had it. Jesus Christ speaks in John chapter 3 and verse 19. He first speaks about condemnation, but he is very careful in saying he did not come to condemn the world, but the world is already condemned. Those who reject his word, those who reject his salvation, those who reject the precious light of scripture, they are already condemned. Jesus didn't come to condemn lives. He didn't come to heap condemnation on the hearts of men because of their sin. They are already condemned, but he came to shine light into their darkness. Jesus says in John 3 that light has come into the world and men love darkness. And this is the only time that you read of the word agape. This is the strongest, most militant type of love. It is never used outside of the scripture for anything other than the love of the real saints towards God, or God's love towards the saints. Agape love is absolutely unique. And yet in this John 3, it speaks about a type of person that light has come into the world, but that men in the world love darkness rather than light. Just as we love Jesus Christ, so, I mean, real sinners love darkness. There are those who are going to reject Christ, who love darkness more than they love light. They agape the darkness. They love the darkness. They are impassioned by the darkness. They have given their lives over to darkness. Their whole life is consumed with darkness. And yet if you were to ask them or tell them that they are walking in darkness, they would say, no, I'm free, I'm happy, I'm doing what I want. Their bondage and darkness, they think is light, and yet it is terrible darkness. Jesus goes on to say concerning them that men love darkness rather than light. They choose to love the darkness, and this is the reason, because their deeds were evil. Because their deeds were evil, they didn't want them exposed. Therefore, they loved the darkness. They gave themselves to the darkness. They would not let the darkness go. And in verse 20, it says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. And this is the reason, lest his deeds should be reproved. Because in the light, you're going to have your darkness exposed. In the light of God, walking with God, or walking in the light of God, everything that is darkness about you, whether in thought or feelings, deeds, in your speech, will be exposed. You see, if you come to the light, if you love the light, you actually come to the light. If you have a love for God, if you have a love for Christ, you have a desire to walk in the light. And you know what the effect of that is? Is that as you walk in the light, that light reproves you, or it exposes things that are not right. Since already we know in our life how uncomfortable it can be when there's a dealing of God in our life, and yet we love the light. Because we love the light, we're not scared of having that revealed. We're not scared of God dealing with these hearts, or bringing to the surface an attitude or a characteristic or an action that needs dealt with. We go, "Oh God, let your light shine upon me." But it speaks about those who love darkness. How do you know those who love or agape darkness? It's that they will not come to the light. It says, "But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." If you ever meet anyone who says they're a Christian but doesn't want to come to the light, there's something wrong. If you meet a Christian and they don't let the light of God's word shine into their action, they don't let it reprove them, correct them, or chastise them, there is something wrong. A man who can call himself a Christian but he loves darkness rather than light, he is a hypocrite. He is not a real Christian. But Jesus said, notice, it's Jesus is teaching about this: walk either in the light or walk in the darkness. He says, "For everyone who doeth evil hateth the light." That is a strong statement. There is an hard attitude that hateth the light. They hate the light. They don't want it to reprove or correct them. Saints, let the light reprove you. Let it shine upon you. Let it correct you. Because there are those, even in the church, who hate the light. Jesus taught this. He said there are those who think they're walking in the light, but yet they hate the light. And this is the reason, lest his deeds should be reproved. Here is a man who loves darkness. He hates the light, and he doesn't want the light to reprove him or correct him or to reveal really what's going on in him. But the true Christian is not like that. Jesus also says in John 8, he says, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness." So we see that a walk in darkness is someone who isn't following Christ. If you follow Christ, you walk in the light. Yes. But he shall have the light of life. If you're a follower of Christ, you are in the light. If you don't follow Christ, you are walking in darkness. If you are playing games with Christianity, you are yet in darkness. Jesus said, "If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness..." How great is that darkness? In other words, if what you think is light is actually darkness, you're in a worse state than anyone. It's not just that you're in the dark, but you actually think your darkness is light. You actually imagine that this is light. Have you ever spoken to someone who has never seen? It's very hard to convey to them. They'll say, "Well, tell me what a color looks like. Try to explain to me the difference between red or green." You will have a very hard job trying to communicate to someone who has never seen that they are in blindness. They cannot comprehend. They do not understand these things. It also says in 1 John chapter 2 and 9, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother, he is in darkness even until now." They might say they are a Christian, yet they are filled with hatred for their brother. And John writing here, he says, you're in darkness. You think you're in the light. You think you're in Christ. You think that you're a walker in light, and yet you're in darkness. He also goes on to say, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth." Because that darkness has blinded his eyes. He is in darkness, saints. He might talk about Christ. He might profess Christ. And again, in chapter 1 of 1 John, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses, constantly cleanses us from all sin. Paul the Apostle often spoke about this light and darkness as a type of either being in Christ or being in the world. In Acts 26:18, concerning his commission, he says that his commission was to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. So we see darkness and light. It is compared to being turned from Satan unto God. If you're walking in darkness, you're actually set towards Satan. If you're walking in the light, you're set towards God. And it was Paul's commission to open the blind eyes that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Again, Paul says in Ephesians 5, for ye were sometimes darkness. Do you know you used to be darkness? You used to walk in darkness. Your mind, your heart, your whole life was in darkness. But he says, but now are ye light in the Lord. Therefore, walk as children of light. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:5, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Peter also says in chapter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we see in the New Testament, walking in darkness, either it's the mark of an utter unbeliever or it's the mark of a hypocrite. But you can't walk in darkness and be a Christian. But I'm not going to preach about that this morning. That isn't my message. My message is how to walk in darkness. I want to preach to you in these moments about a darkness a Christian does walk in. I want to tell you of an experience of a real, genuine, born-again believer who walks in darkness, and it's not because of sin, and it's not because of disobedience, and it's not because God deserted them. There is an actual experience that the Bible speaks about in Isaiah 50 of a genuine Christian walking in darkness. But it's not the darkness of unbelief. It's not the darkness of rebellion. It is actually an experience that God allows to come to a genuine believer. We read in the Bible of times where genuine believers or followers of God walked in darkness. We read in Genesis 15 verse 12 concerning Abram. When God was dealing with him, it says, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, and notice this, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. I don't believe there's words strong enough to express what happened to Abraham. He is having a dealing with God. Do you know what God is coming to do? To bless his life and to enter into a covenant with him. God himself is about to come down and manifest himself in a remarkable way unto him. But do you know what happens just before it? He is gonna fall into this terrible state of darkness. A terrible darkness falls upon Abraham. He wasn't out of the will of God. He was walking with God. And yet darkness falls upon him. It was nighttime around him. It was nighttime for everybody in the community or in the nation. But it wasn't a natural darkness that came upon him. It says, lo, of course it was nighttime, but that wasn't the darkness. It says, lo, a horror of darkness fell upon him. This was an experience that Abraham was going to go through on the eve of great blessing. God does allow us saints to walk through terrible darkness before he blesses them greatly. On the very eve of great blessings, we can walk through some of the darkest valleys, through some of the darkest trials. We can feel God has left us deserted us. We can't feel anything. We can't see anything. We don't even know what to do next. This great horror of darkness fell on Abraham. Listen to what it's called, this darkness. A horror of darkness. That means there was fear in it. That means there was trembling in it. That means there was many questions and many thoughts, feelings and emotions in it. Abraham literally was encompassed in this darkness, and yet God hadn't left him. God had not left Abraham. Again, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and 22 concerning Moses being on the mount with God. Not many men got to enter right into the presence of God. Not many men spoke to God face to face as a friend would speak to a friend. Not many people had a revealing of God's character. And it says that up there on the mountain with Moses there with God, that God came down in that mountain. And it says that fire came down in the mountain, that a cloud came down, and that thick darkness covered the mountain. Do you realize that Moses was there in a holy place with God, but he was covered in thick, gross darkness? He could hear God's voice, and yet that mountain was covered in thick darkness. Do you know, he preached a message after this about the fear of God. And he said, all of you come. You come, let us enter into covenant with God. And do you know what the people said? Said, you go speak to him. We're scared of him. It was, they had a fear that kept them away from God. Moses had a fear that drew him to God. And there's a big difference between that type of fear. But on that mount, terrible darkness, thunder, and lightning came down. Saints, Moses lived through that. But it was in the midst of that, God is revealed as Moses' friend. There are such experiences. Do you know that Moses come down off that mount with the law of God, the tablets of God? He had met with God in the midst of terrible darkness, in thunders, in storms, in great and terrible experiences. He had met with God in that storm, and he came walking out of that darkness. All of Israel was terrified to approach that mountain. They stood absolutely in fear of this looking. They were afar off from this experience, and they trembled at it. But when they seen the man of God come out of it, his face was shining. Do you remember that? Remember how he had to put something. They couldn't stand to even look on this man. Where had he been? He was on the mount amidst great darkness. Great darkness. Do you realize the fruit that comes out of times of darkness? When you have been alone with God in the darkness, your face can shine. It can shine. You could be walking in hell, and yet the glory of God shines upon you. Listen to what it says in Job 23. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And I go backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he does work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand. I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. Look at this man. He is walking in darkness. He goes every direction. He can't see God. He can't perceive God. He can't find God. And yet he knows in his heart, but God knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me. What was this trial? It was an experience where he couldn't find God. All the circumstances of life were against him. He could not see the hand of God. He wasn't praying prayers and walking out, coming to the next meeting saying, praise God, brothers and sisters. Do you know God answered my prayer? Everything was against him. No prayers were being answered. He couldn't find the face of God. He couldn't hear the voice of God. He couldn't see the face of God. All of this in around him. Every direction he goes, he tries to go back. Well, I'll go back to where I left off. Can't find him. Well, I'll keep moving forward. Can't find him. I'll go off to the left here. I'll go off to the right. I can't find my God. You're talking about a man who, in his generation, he feared God like no other man on the face of the planet. He was a man who eschewed sin. In other words, he rejected it. He sidestepped it. He walked in the fear of God. And yet here he is. God allowed him to walk in darkness. Yeah. Do you know, in the midst of that, he said, when I have been tried, I shall come forth as gold. Remember what we heard a couple of weeks ago about in the trials, those five golden Psalms. It was in the trial. It's in the cave that you find the gold. It's in the midst of this. Job knew this. He knew that in the darkest trial, he was walking in darkness. Saints, he couldn't find his God. Do you know what Job actually says? He started to think back and he says, I remember those days when the light of God shone upon me. I remember those days when everybody used to come to me and I was able to help them and always had a word in season for them. I remember when his covenant and the secret of the Lord shone upon me and guided me. And now I can't even find my God. I'm left desolate. Saints, real Christians do go through an experience of walking in darkness. But don't think that you're a Job just because you go through a trial. Many sinners go through worse trials than any of us in this room. Yeah. There are men I could tell you about. They have lost family, but they're not saved. They have had all their wealth taken off them, but they're not born again. They have had their health stolen, but they're not a Job. It's not for the same reason. Neither will it bring them to the same thing. They're not righteous. They're not holy. It is nothing related to Job. We are not Jobs because we suffer or go through times of darkness. That doesn't make us a Job. Listen, he said, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held its steps. His way have I kept, and I have not declined. What's he saying? I'm keeping on walking. I feel like my world is over. I feel like my heart is broken. I feel like God has deserted me. But you know what? I'm going to keep on walking, saints. I'm not going to the left. I'm not going to the right. I'm not going back. My wife is telling me, curse God and die. He says, my heart is broken. My children is gone. My wealth is gone. My health is gone. I am going through a night of hell. I am walking in darkness. I don't know how I'm going to come out of it. I can't make a change. I've tried to pray. I've tried to fast. I've tried to quote the promises of God. Nothing changes it. But this one thing I know, that when he has tried me, when my God has finished his work in me, I'm going to come forth as gold. Yeah. Do you realize there's something to come out of those dark times?
Yeah.
Saints, in the darkest of times, when you can't see him, when you can't gaze on his face, when you can't feel his presence, when he isn't speaking to you as maybe he once did, don't fall apart. Don't change direction. What you heard in the light, remember in the dark. My grandfather always said that. He said, don't change direction in the nighttime, in the dark, in the trial. Yeah. He says, remember back to what God said in the light and just keep walking in it. Don't change direction. Don't fall apart. Don't lose your confidence. Don't take your eyes off the Lord. This is what Job done. Neither have I gone back. Listen this. This is Job saying in his worst hour. He says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. It seems like it's over for Job. He's sitting on the heap of ashes. Do you know why he was sitting on ashes? I had a friend who had boils like Job. He was in Africa and he had some strange disease. Do you know what the locals done? They brought him to a great ash heap and lay him on it. It was the only comfort he could get for his body. And they laid him in all of this ash to ease the pain on his body. That's why Job was sitting on the ash heap. That's why he was there. Look at this man. And yet he says, I can't even find my God. I wish I would have been aborted in my mother's womb. I wish I would have died in her womb. I wish I had never been born. That's a dark place, saints.
Amen.
But you're talking about a man who fears God and who says, I will not go back. I will not leave you. Though you slay me, I will follow you. He says, I have not gone back from the commandments of your lips. I'm holding on to them. Curse God and die. No, I won't. Mm-hmm. No, I won't.
Yeah.
Be tempted to forsake your God or curse your God. No, I won't. We all know here about the treasures of the snow, don't we? You know about the treasures of the snow. It's written about in the book of Job. He talks about that, about those treasures of the snow. In other words, in each flake, when you get inside it and begin to behold it, the design within each flake is absolutely unique. You enter into a remarkable treasure that God himself has designed and stored up within the snowflake. God has designed a whole crystal world that nothing of this world, no expert in our culture can manufacture that. It is dazzling.
Amen.
And it reveals the character of God. It's inside the snowflake that you find the treasures. There are treasures hidden in the snow that the normal eye doesn't even see. If you don't get inside that flake, you don't see it. Can I tell you about another treasure? Isaiah 45 verse 3. It says, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness. In the very same way, the Lord is saying, there's some treasures that you will not have unless in a place of darkness. If you don't walk in darkness, you'll never gain these treasures. Job, you will not come forth as gold. It was on the cross. For 3 hours, Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. It said darkness covered the face of the earth. For 3 hours, there was no sun. The sun did not shine during those 3 hours. Darkness engulfed everything. Christ began to cry out, Father, why have you forsaken me? Men were reviling him. No token prayers were being answered. This was the hour of hell's victory. And yet there was great treasure to be brought out. Saints, there is great treasure. When God allows you to walk in darkness, it means just around the corner is the blessing of God. Keep on walking. In your darkest valley, I assure you there's a way out. In your darkest hour, an hour of confusion, I promise you God has a plan. There are treasures in the darkness. The Lord says, I will give thee the treasures of darkness. Samuel Rutherford, an old Scottish preacher, he says, you always find the sweetest wine in the darkest cellars. Tucked away in those darkest cellars, you'll find the sweetest wine. And that's where you get it. Do you know what he was saying? He says, in those trials, you'll find things that you'll never get. When it's all happy clappy. Yeah. When you're rejoicing. When everything's good. When God's answering all your prayers. When you're saying, he done this and he done that for me. There are certain things you will never gain until it's an hour of darkness. Saints, can I ask you, do you know how to walk in darkness? Do you know that there's treasures in the darkness of night? Real treasures. Now I want to please let me bring you to this scripture here this morning. Verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? He is talking about an experience a believer can go through. I mean a real man of God. Notice this. This isn't a sinner. This isn't a hypocrite. This isn't a game player. This is actually a man. Look at it again. Who is among you that feareth the Lord and who obeyeth the voice of his servant who walketh in darkness? Here is a man who fears God. He obeys God's voice and yet he's walking in darkness. Here is a man who says, I tremble before God. I love God. I love his word. And yet I find myself walking in darkness where I can't even find him. I can't feel him. I can't see him. I can't hear him. I am walking in darkness. Since we need to be prepared for walking in darkness because there's great treasures. In that hour of darkness, you will think it's a finish, yet it's only the beginning. Job's greatest days were yet ahead. His greatest days weren't over. He began to think, all that's ever happened good in my life is over. It's in the past. I'll never see good days again. No, Job, You're going to see greater days. You'll have twice as many children. You'll have twice as many possessions. You'll get back everything you lost, and it shall be multiplied unto you. When you come out, you are going to come out as gold. You're going to come out of the darkness with something that you didn't have before. Notice here in this verse, it says, who is among you who walks in darkness? Who is among you? In other words, this isn't what we're going through all the time. Who is among you who walketh in darkness? You fear God, you obey God, but you're walking in darkness. Is there anyone amongst us who is walking in darkness? It's not the experience of everybody all the time. It's not your experience all the time. It's not the normal experience of a Christian. But it is an experience you can experience. Like we've said, you can find yourself in a storm because of disobedience. In the New Testament, sometimes it was their disobedience that brought them in the storm, like Jonah. Or you can find yourself in the storm because you're obeying God. You need to know which storm it is. Either the storm can be sent of God to chastise you, or the storm can be sent by the devil to stop you obeying him. The storm is the same, the effect and feel is the same, but it's radically different. It's for a different reason and a different purpose. You must discern the darkness you're walking in. Either it's a darkness of your own making, or it's a darkness that God has allowed to come to you. Why? To test you, to try you, to prove you, and to give you the treasures of darkness. When God chooses you to walk in an hour of darkness, it's because He has treasure He's going to give to you. He wants to reveal some blessing. There's something that you can't see that He wants to give unto you. Notice here that it talks, who amongst you walks in darkness? It's talking to believers. Genuine believers walking in darkness. Not the darkness of sin, but the darkness of absolute obedience. It is obedience. Have you ever seen a dog being trained? You have the dog there, and when you get him to a good place, you say, stay. You put a big pot of food about 6 feet away from him. Say, stay now. Stay. That's your last word to him. And you back off. And you walk further away. And you keep going further. And you go round the corner and you wait there for 2 minutes. When you've got him to that place, when you come back around that corner and he's panting, looking, and the food's all there, you've got him in a good place. He is waiting on your words.
Yeah.
That is how you train a dog, that your word is more important than the food. That dog will actually wait in obedience on your voice. And when you say, go get the food, he'll go for the food. But even when you go out of sight, your word still carries weight. He's not there. Wait till he goes around the corner, then I'll go get the food. Oh no.
Yeah.
You can walk out of the room saying, now, don't you touch anything on that table. And I'll just sit there obediently. That is a good place. Saints, why does God allow us to walk in darkness? It is for our training, not for our destruction. It is to learn obedience. It is to bring us to maturity. That we don't just go by feelings and thoughts and emotions. We move beyond it and we know the character of God. We learn how to walk in darkness. Now I want to give you 5 things on how to walk in darkness. It's not our experience all the time walking in darkness. Sometimes we walk in darkness. Our realms of darkness because of our foolishness, our disobedience. We get ourselves there. You need to repent. You need to get away from sin. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a believer walking with God. I want to leave you with 5 things on how to walk in darkness. What do you do when you find yourself in a time of darkness? You don't feel His presence. You don't see His face. You can't hear His voice. It seems like you're utterly desolate. Maybe it's a darkness in your circumstances. All of your circumstances seem dark. Nothing good has happened in your circumstance. Maybe that's the darkness you're walking in. Or maybe it's an inward darkness of the heart and of the emotions and of the feelings. Maybe you're engulfed in confusion and fears and doubts and despondency. Maybe it's an hour where you think, I am slipping, I am going to lose it. And I know none of you experience this, but I have. Where I feel like it is all over. I won't be here to see the new year in. It is over for me. We're talking about real darkness. A darkness where it seems God has left you. We read of one of the greatest kings of Israel called Hezekiah. It says in 2 Chronicles 32, God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. Now we know God doesn't leave a real saint, but his presence left him. He wasn't there in the same way. And why? Because God was going to test his heart. When you don't feel God, you are being tested. When you don't see him, when you don't perceive him, you are being tested. And now we're going to find out what's really in your heart. It's not the times of blessing we see who you are. It's in the times of darkness that we really see who we are in this walk. Let me give you these five things. First of all, there in verse 10, it says, who among you that he feareth the Lord? The first great mark of those, and this is how to walk through darkness, is to fear the Lord. If you want to walk out the other end, saints, I'm not saying how to relieve your troubles, because I don't know how long it lasts. I don't know how dark it will be. I don't know all that God is doing, but I want to tell you how to walk through it. Number one is to fear God. First of all, you don't get in a darkness created by God or allowed by God unless you fear him. To fear the Lord is the mark of a real Christian. You can't be a Christian unless you fear the Lord. If you don't fear the Lord, then you don't belong to God. The great mark of a Christian is that you fear him. Some people have said, well, the word fear doesn't mean fear. It just means a nice reverence. The Bible doesn't teach that. It says, I fear you. I tremble at your judgments. It is a trembling before God. It is an awesome awareness of God. One day, all of us in this room are going to stand before him in judgment. Every single one of us. Either at a great white throne judgment, and there's no salvation in that, or at the judgment seat of Christ, which is for the believer. It's going to be one or the other. But the great mark, saints, how do you walk through darkness? How do you walk through a time when you feel or see or perceive nothing like Job? You fear God. You may not be able to see him, but you do fear him. You tremble before him. The fear of God is not something taught by man. We read of in the Bible, concerning a fear that is taught a man. Man teaches it and you keep your idols. It says in Chronicles about those, it says they were taught the fear of the Lord, but they worshipped their idols. It was actually a fear of God. They said, oh, we fear God. We reverence God. We respect God. But they kept all of their idols in their heart and their life. They didn't deal with sin. Here are people who say, we can fear God, we pray to God, we believe in God, we believe it all. We're asking for miracles, we believe he does things for us, but we keep our idols. That is not the real fear of God. The real fear of God is to depart from sin and iniquity. The Bible defines the fear of God as those who fear him depart from sin. And when you know sin, you will run from it. The fear of God. Oh, but he's not looking at me. Oh, but I don't feel his presence. Oh, but he's not doing mighty miracles. I don't have that sense of the Lord. What do you do when you walk through a time of darkness? Do you fear him? Do you fear him in the darkness? I can't fear him. I can't see him. I can't feel him. I can't hear his voice. But I do fear him. I want to depart from anything that would grieve him. Secondly, it said, who obeyeth the voice of his servant in verse 10. This word obeyeth is very interesting in the Greek. It means to hear intelligently or to give attention to the to the very point of a ban. It means to gather up, or to give great carefulness, or to give great diligence of what God is speaking. Notice it says, who obeyeth the voice of his servant. Do you want to know how to walk through times of darkness? You obey the voice of his servant. You obey the voice of Christ. You actually give great observance, diligence to the voice of Jesus Christ, to his word. Show me someone walking in darkness. They're trembling. They're in fear. Their heart is downcast. But they say, I do obey the word of God. Look at Job. He says, though all this has happened to me and I can't find God, yet I store up God's commandments. I am not letting go of God's commandments. I love the word of God. I believe the word of God. I store the word of God up within me. Thirdly, it says, he walketh in darkness. Do you know what the word walketh means? It means to continue. You want to know how to survive a time of darkness? Keep on walking. Yeah. The word walketh means to continue walking, to keep going forward, to keep on the same pace. Don't slacken your pace. Don't change direction. The worst time to change direction is in the darkness.
Yeah.
When you're going through a trial or a trouble or it's hell around you, never change direction. Never make a decision at that point of time. That is the worst time to make a decision. Wait till you come out of the trial, then make your decision. You see, this is how we walk through darkness. What do you do when you're in darkness and can't feel him? You just keep walking, saints. What you were doing before the trial. You go, 2 weeks ago I was rejoicing in him. Oh, I had nice times with the Lord. Now I feel like he's deserted me and left me. It's like he's not even listening to me. Keep on walking, saints. Don't change direction. Fourthly, he goes on in this verse 10 and he says, what are we going to do? What does a man who fears God and who gives diligence to his word and who is walking in darkness, he's walking in it. What do I do? What do I do if I can't find God? What do I do if I walk into a time I can't see him, feel him or perceive him? What do I do? What's gone wrong? Have I done something? Well, if you have, repent of it. But if I tell you, lots of times Christians go, did I do something? There's nothing there. Just keep on walking. But notice the next two things. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. This word trust in the Hebrew, it means to be confident, to be sure, and to be bold. Here you are in darkness, you can't feel him or see him. And the Lord says, what are you to do in the darkness? Just trust him. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the name of the Lord. What does it mean to trust in the name of the Lord? His name reveals his character, doesn't it? His actual name, Jehovah Jireh, I'll provide for you. I'll be everything that you need. Do you know what it means? That in the hour of darkness, when you're walking in darkness, trust in his name. What are you going to trust on? I don't feel tingly feelings. I don't have a prophecy. I don't have a vision. I open the Bible, I can't find anything. What am I going to do? Just trust in his name or his character. Is he faithful? Then trust in him. Does he love you? Then trust in that. Is he perfectly wise? Then trust in it. Saints, this will bring you through trials where you go, I know his character. Has he changed? Because of your trial, has the character of God changed? Has he changed his promise? Does he change how he acts towards his children? You see, there is a trusting in his name. Fifthly and lastly, it says, stay upon your God. Then the verse 10, stay upon your God. The word stay means to rely heavily or to lean heavily. It actually means if you're standing up and I was to lean on Candace, I would so put all my weight on her that if she isn't there or if she moves, I'm going to fall over. We used to do this many years ago. You'd be, have your eyes blindfolded. You'd stand in a circle of guys and you'd literally let them push you. And they'd push you back and forth around that circle. And you let your body go. Your feet stayed where they are. It was an issue of trust. You're literally trusting. And what you'd done was so lean that if they don't catch you and push you around a little bit, you're going to end up flat on the floor. Do you realize in the hour of darkness, that's the very hour that you're going, he's not there to catch me or to hold me or to guide me or to lead me or to protect me. It actually means to rely on him and lean on him in such a way that if he isn't there, you're in a crisis. Whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional, you actually say, but I know your character, I know your promises, and I'm going to lean on you. If you don't come through for me, I am in trouble.
Yeah.
I am leaning on you that unless you are real, unless you're with me in this darkness, I am in serious difficulty. And that's what it is to trust him as well. To be confident in him. To be sure. You actually trust him. You trust and you lean. You trust him. You have a boldness to say, I know your character. I know you're faithful. Saints, we're talking about five things that aren't easy to do in the darkness, but it'll get you out the other end. These are the five things you're to do in the darkness. You're to fear him. You're to obey him. You're to keep on walking. You're to trust him and have a confidence in him. And you're to lean your entire weight upon him. And that's how you get through. But let me finish with a warning. The Lord also gives a warning in verse 11. He says, behold all ye that kindle a fire. Here are a people, they don't trust him. They aren't leaning on him. They aren't walking in the darkness. They don't, you know what? They stop and say, let's light a fire. I am going to light a fire. I'm going to kindle my own fire. You see, they don't want to keep walking in the dark. Saints, nobody wants to walk in darkness. It is a dangerous thing to walk in darkness. You want a light shining. And yet, here are believers who don't have any light. They cannot see where they're going, but they're going to have to rely on the Lord alone. What's the other option? When you don't lean on him, and you don't trust him, and you don't keep his word, and you don't keep on walking at the same pace in the same direction. What's the other option? Verse 11, you kindle a fire. You compass yourselves with sparks. He says, walk in the light of your fire. Here are people who they go, I'm in a time of darkness. I can't feel him. I can't see him. I'm going to create my own fire. I am actually going to do things the Bible forbids. I'm going to try and ease my own discomfort. I just want out of this darkness. I just want light. There's no treasure for them, saints. There's no treasure in the darkness. They won't be given by God the treasures of darkness. Here they are. They're more concerned about just getting out of the darkness than in trust in the Lord. But you see, God uses dark times so that you grow deeper in him. It's not easy. It's not nice. It's not comfortable. Everything gets shook. Everything gets tested. But you're driven to him. But the warning given is those who try to walk by their own fire. Are you going to light your own fire? Well, sure, everything's okay. I can manage. You actually take the darkness and you turn it into a light. I'm okay, I'm fine, I know the Lord. Everything's all right, everything's okay. I don't need to deal with anything wrong in my heart or life. Doesn't matter about fear in the Lord. Everybody gets through anyway. Do they? This is what the Lord says to such a person. Ye have kindled your own sparks, walk in your own fire. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. You're in the trials. You've got a choice to either lean on him absolutely, to throw yourself in obedience on him, or you're going to light your own fire to encourage yourself, to pick yourself up. He says, you will lie down in sorrow. If you stop and try to create your own fires that aren't real, create your own guidance when God isn't guiding you. God isn't speaking to me. Well, I'll get something from God. You will walk in sorrow. Well, God hasn't spoken to me. I am going to do it anyway. You will walk in sorrow. I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to do this anyway. You will walk in sorrow. And you know what will come from God's hand? That's what he says. You're walking in darkness, trouble, heartache. You don't understand everything. Hasn't spoken to me. Well, I'll. Do you know what Saul done in his hour of darkness? He is facing a crisis hour. He was the anointed of God. He knew God. He knew the anointing of God. He knew the voice of God. He was a great leader. Do you know what he done in this crisis hour? He got away from God, didn't he? He started getting superstitious. He started getting angry. Started getting bitter. Started getting jealous. All of these things started to fill his heart. Do you know what he done? He went and he tried to get God to speak to him. Here he is letting attitudes in his heart, rebellion against God. And he's trying to get God to speak to him. I need you to speak to me and help me because I'm going to war. You helped me before, I want you to help me now. And he done everything. But do you know what? The Bible says God wasn't speaking to him. God refused to. Do you know what that would have been the opportunity to do? Repent and come back to God. Oh God, why aren't you speaking to me? I need you. It should have humbled him. Do you know what he done? He went to the witch of Endor. Can you imagine this man who knows God, who had walked with prophets, who knew the anointing of God? God gave him national victories, and he goes to a witch, and he goes into her, and he says, I need you to bring up the prophet of God, Samuel. I want you to communicate with him. I want you to call him up, and I'm going to speak to him. Do you know the witch of Endor? She'll start doing her hokey pokey stuff. And up out of the floor came a mantled man. And she was terrified. Do you know why? It wasn't like all her ghosts and ghoulies. This was a real man of God. And do you know what Samuel said? He said, you're a dead man. You're a dead man. You've lost the word of God. You try to light your own fire. What did Peter try to do? He was a man of God. Remember when he denied Christ three times? What's he doing? He's standing warming his hands at the fire of the world. It's a cold night. It's an hour of darkness. It's an hour of trouble. They're all having their hearts tested. Where's Peter? He's standing at the world's fire. He's standing with unbelievers and they're saying, you're one of these Galileans. Oh no, I don't know them. I swear I don't know them. Here he is warming his hands by the fire. Sure, I'll go back into church next week anyway. One minute in the world, the next in the church. I'm warming my hands by the fire. I have kindled my own fires. And you know what God says? You will receive sorrow. Either you trust God or you go kindle your own fire, but you cannot both. Yeah. Either you're going to walk through terrible darkness that shakes you inside out and you're only going to trust in God and his voice, or else you're going to light all of your own little fires go. Isn't it bright in here? What a choice. Mm. Let me read one last scripture as we close here. Go with me to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Why does God in the Bible say fear not? Because there's something to fear, and because they are fearing. Can we fear? Yes. Yeah. I go through trials, I fear. And he has to come to me and help me. But listen to what else says. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And notice the next verse. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. This is God's people who have many fears, many trials, and they're walking through the fire, and they're walking through the deep waters, and the Lord says, you'll come out the other end. Let me tell you this morning, keep walking, saints of God. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Stay in the Word of God. Lay a hold of Him. I don't feel Him, but I do fear Him. Do you feel His presence? Have you had an ecstatic experience this morning? Not asking you that. Do you fear Him this morning?
Yeah.
Do you trust Him this morning? Are you leaning upon the everlasting arms that will never let you down? We're singing it this morning. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What are you leaning on? I don't care how weak you are. I don't care how troubled you are. Where are you leaning? Because every other flame will let you down and bring sorrow.
Amen.
Let's call upon the Lord just this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my Lord, teach us how to walk through darkness, my God. In times of darkness, I'm asking that you teach us. We don't want to light our own fires. We don't want to go to the fires of the world. We don't want to find answers. We don't want merely voices from heaven. My God, we want to walk with you. We want to know your character. Father, I pray, Lord God, every life in this church, my God, I pray for those who are not here. My God, we are asking this morning, my God, for the treasures of darkness. I'm asking you, my God. I want to know you. I want to know your character. I want to come forth as gold. My God, we want to know something of your ways. We're not satisfied with merely answered prayers. My God, we want you, our God. We want you in the midst of our meetings. We want your presence. We want your blessing. We want your anointing. My God, I'm asking, oh God, give us the treasures of darkness. Bring us through the overwhelming floods. Bring us through the times of darkness. My God, we're asking, oh God, we're going to keep on walking, my God. We're not going to change direction. We're not going to the left. We're not going back. We're not casting aside your word. Where else can we go? You are our God and you do we trust. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bless you. We worship you. You're a mighty God. Hallelujah.